in length, to be strong as Orpheus. Our Lord, as we know more, he wept, especially on two occasions. He wept, remember, over the dead Lazarus, and he wept over Jerusalem. What's the lesson for us? Is it wrong to mourn? No. But we better mourn over the right things. Mourn over the loss of someone we've loved. Now, the deepest loss, sisters, is not lost by death. I won't ask this question, and I hope your answer, if I did ask the question, would be different from what it would be in the United States. Most Catholic families in the United States have not just one, but often many children who have strayed from the faith and have given up their practice of the Catholic religion, have married outside the church, have given up their faith even in Jesus Christ. What we're doing in the United States is organizing our parents an association where the people will pray for one another to bring back their lost children. Am I clear? The children have drifted away from their faith. In America, there are millions, millions of once Catholic children who have given up their Catholic faith. Millions. In order to mourn, therefore, over the loss of someone we love, whether in bodily death or what is more serious, spiritual death. But you're also to mourn. Why did Jesus weep over Jerusalem? Because Jerusalem, as he said, remember, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Who could finish that sentence? Jerusalem. Jesus finally went to Jerusalem. Remember, his disciples warned him, Master, don't go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. When his time came, he went to Jerusalem. Remember on the way to Calvary, the women who wept and consoled Jesus. Remember what our Lord told them? Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. Christ foresaw one generation after his crucifixion the destruction of Jerusalem, and here it is, the great historian of Judaism was the Jewish Josephus. He wrote for the end of the first century. He tells us over 50,000 Jews that Jerusalem was taken over by the Roman soldiers. Some 50,000 Jews were crucified. All the forests around Jerusalem were cut down. And the Jews were crucified. rendering Christ's passion. Remember, the people shouted. Then Pilate said, "Shall I crucify your king?" Remember, his blood be on. Well, what did they say? What did the Jews say? His blood be on us and our children. And that was literally fulfilled. And sisters, we are now in the third day of our retreat. I know the missionaries of charity. Molto bene. Very well. My own means, with Mother Teresa, love the poor, practice charity, but don't forget the same God who died on the cross out of love for us. He'll come on the last day to judge and be those to whom he will say, "Come, you blessed of my Father." Remember? And the others he will say, "Depart from me." Whatever the mission is of charity, better know the same God who became incarnate love, is the God who is a just God. There is such a thing as sin, and sin is punished by God. Sisters, there is a heaven, but please don't forget, there is also a hell. In this beatitude, Jesus is speaking about mourning. We are to mourn over the sinners. And do everything in our power to bring the sinners back to the friendship of God. Our last beatitude. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Different translations. The one that I like the best is, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for what is right. Who can finish? They shall be satisfied. Sisters, the strongest language in Scripture for desire is hunger and thirst. We, of course, know what hunger and thirst means in the body. But this beatitude tells us to hunger and thirst for what is right. In other words, whatever else you do during these days of the retreat, I beg you to examine your desires. And either we control our desires or we will never be satisfied. And not only not satisfied on earth, but not even satisfied in eternity.